Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Before we start, Milwaukee!
Oh, Milwaukee!
Are you ready?
Drink it in, man. You just made the list. Kinshasa!
And you can't beat that. Top guys out.
Glorious!
We're here.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner
of the United States
of the Americas. And I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. It doth be DPP.
Your inebriator in the era of awesome podcast degenerates. Welcome back to another episode of the DWI podcast. What are we at? 178?
181. 181. 181.
Jeez. Where did the time go?
More points than you can get in a single round of 301, my friend.
Wow.
Ring the bell on that.
There you go.
Thank you. Motherfucker. Yeah, so how you
Show's
been?
Right, Ben. Shows where I've been.
Oh, yeah. How you been? How you been? You got any trouble since the last time we talked?
I got any what?
Have you gotten any trouble since last time we talked?
No. Okay. Not a bit. Not a bit. I have my soda here. Clear soda.
I'm just saying, if the people really want to know, I don't think we'll tell the story on the air, but we had quite the Halloween weekend experience.
Yeah. Jeez Louise.
How's that joke start? So Jesus and the devil walk into a bar?
Walk into a bar. Yeah, I don't know what happens after that.
Well, if you want to know more, folks, just find us on the Twitter. At PC Tony or at It's Me, DPP. Anywho, how about we get into the DWI podcast episode 181 and let everybody know, DP, what we're going to be talking about this week.
Well, it's the big show!
That was interesting.
Well, it's the big sheet.
He takes a big sheet, I bet.
No. I don't know about that.
Well,
I left quite the crown jewel, probably, yeah, in his hotel bathroom.
That's funny. Well done. Yeah, ringing the bell. Speaking of crown jewel, we're going to talk about that. We're going to review that, give our thoughts. We're going to get into some thoughts on the Women's Evolution pay-per-view, since we haven't been on since that aired. We're also going to get into a discussion on Survivor Series looking like it's going to be Raw versus SmackDown. And for a last call, we'll give our mid-season thoughts on the NFL, the actual NFL, and fantasy football. We'll try not to get into our teams too much and bore you to death. But let's get into the wrestling right now. DPP, ring the bell. Crown Jewel. What'd you think overall of the Crown Jewel show? I love the fact that I got done with work, and then I got to come home and watch it. That was kind of cool. I know you watched it the next day, I believe, but what was your thoughts?
These are my thoughts.
It's the most boring piece of garbage I've ever seen.
Wow. You must have had too high expectations, yeah, coming in.
Hate it.
Really?
Very much so, actually. Very much so.
Expound on that.
Well, I thought the opening matches were good. I liked the whole how the tournament started. I enjoyed the beginning of the show. And then it decided to take a turn for the crapper. And I couldn't hear, Jesus. I couldn't understand what they were doing at the end when you decide to not only throw away your universal title match and basically not have one, and then you decide that nobody's going to win Crown Jewel. It's going to be Shane McMahon who decides, like, nope, I'm wrestling. Okay, really?
Well, let's start there.
That's what you're going to do with that World Cup?
Let's start there. Let's start with the World Cup tournament itself, okay? We had The Miz go over Jeff Hardy. We had Rey Mysterio go over on Orton, and Orton would take the boots to him afterwards with the RKO. Angle was defeated by Ziggler. Angle looked horrible in the ring to me. Seth defeated Lashley. And then you had Ziggler defeat Seth and Miz defeat Rey. Miz couldn't go on, and that's where you get Shane. I enjoyed the first round, and then it seemed like they rushed the semifinals. And, yeah, it was kind of weird that Shane ended up winning this. I mean, what was the point of that, you know?
Yeah, that's what I completely don't understand. Why would you bother then? What significance does this have? I mean, I don't know what kind of story they're going to tell out of this or if they're even going to bother with the story, but why?
Yeah, it doesn't look like anybody's going to be on their way to Raw, apparently.
No, that would have been interesting. When he jumped in, I thought he was going to lose because he said if the loser of this is going to be fired.
Right.
So I was waiting for that to happen, and then it never happened, and he won and ran around like he was, you know, king of the world. Because, that was just so messed up to me. I didn't get it. Why not have The Miz win it? It looked like they were going to really turn him over to a babyface. He was going to play the injury angle, you know, and maybe lose or whatever. But then, you know, people would like him because he gutted it out despite being injured. And that would have made for a really good story. But I didn't understand it. I don't know where they're going with it. I agree with you. I liked the first matches. The beginning of the show was really good with those matches. And it seems like they're setting up a Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio feud for a little while, which would be really cool to see. I would really enjoy watching that.
Yeah, I like I said, I liked the first round. I thought Miz had one of the biggest pops of the evening when he, you know, came out and his entry right before he comes out. Awesome! It sounded like the whole crowd did that. Let's talk about another guy who I thought had one of the biggest pops of the evening, brother. Talk about the host of the evening and Hulk Hogan back on the WWE Network.
Yeah, brother. Hold on, dude.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. That was after last time we talked, I think we said, or at least I said, I didn't think he was going to be on television just yet. You know, he's just going to be a backstage ambassador type of thing. But then I realized this is absolutely the perfect time to have him back on television because the international crowd doesn't give a hot shit about what he did over here. And they're going to cheer him because, goddammit, they love Hulk Hogan and they love the nostalgia of wrestling. So it was the perfect opportunity to bring him back on television.
You know, we've talked about the whole Hulk Hogan situation. I sounded a little British or Australian there. Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan situation.
Down under. That's not enough. That's enough. Anyway, we owe Paul Hogan some money now. But
Paul Hogan. Hulk Hogan. It's wrong Hogan.
Hulk. I don't agree. What I'm trying to go here is I don't condone the things he's done. But for me, it was awesome to see him back on television as Hulk Hogan, the character. Like, I like his television character. I like watching him on WWE Network. The same way I don't approve of all the things Tiger Woods has done either, but I love watching him golf, you know? So for me, that's just offending me enjoying him being back on WWE television. I think.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
I think that it's a good thing as far as if you're wanting the product to be better. I think it's a good
thing. I think so too. I mean, I knew at some point he was going to be back and eventually be on television. And this actually was a perfect time to bring him back and reintroduce him and start to make him into some kind of character. And like you said, enjoy the character that is Hulk Hogan. You don't have to enjoy him on a personal level of what he's done, because obviously it wasn't good things that he does outside of the WWE, but, you know, in the ring as a character on television, he could be really good. Could be a guy that could be a really good general manager. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe Baron Corbin's about to get fired too for what he did. We'll get into that. Or maybe not. Maybe that was instructions. I want to move over to the tag team championship match that was had at Crown Jewel. But before we do that, dance break! Oh. All right. Ooh. The bar. Taking you like the new dance break music there?
That's new. It's new music. I like it.
We be rocking.
We are the bar.
The bar. Take it. Who is it? Who?
Who? New Day.
How did you enjoy the tag team championship match, DP?
It's average.
Yeah, that good, I mean, huh?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I've seen them battle for quite a while now, and it seems to be the same every time now, I guess. Maybe I'm ready for something new. But overall, I mean, it was a decent match. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it wasn't the shits.
How do you revitalize the tag team division on both Raw and SmackDown? Because on Raw, you're going to got two guys who probably are just going to relinquish the belts here. Or come out and lose. I don't know. Are they going to keep them as tag team champions? Is that going to be a story? Or where do you go there? I mean, you have multiple talented tag teams on Raw. They kind of given up after really promoting the tag team division for so long. And then on SmackDown, I think they have the wrong teams all together on one show. They've all, between the Usos and the New Day and the Bar, they dominate that division, yet they've been wrestling each other nonstop for the better part of 18, 24 months.
Yeah, I think
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change.
You know, move a few of these teams from SmackDown to Raw. I think we've been kind of calling for the Usos to move to Raw for quite some time now. And one of those needs to move, I think, and just switch it up. It's time to switch it up a little bit. Those two teams have been going at it for a while. The Usos were in there for a little bit, and that's been about all we've seen from the tag team division.
Don't they usually make some changes in the rosters right after the new year? Isn't that the other period of time where they kind of like say, oh, this guy got moved over or traded? Do you think maybe they'll do something extra now and not wait until after WrestleMania? Because the fact is, Roman being gone affects both rosters immensely.
It changes the dynamics, I guess, you know. I don't know if they'll really do anything until after WrestleMania. I know once in a while they'll do a few changes here and there. They'll say, oh, a guy got fired, or he had to be traded because he demanded a trade. But they could probably do something like that. But nothing seems to be – this was an opportunity here with Shane McMahon saying, you know, the loser of Crown Jewel would be moved over to Raw, or would basically be let go and would go to Raw, basically. So that was an opportunity there to do that. You know, maybe they do something at they could even do something at Survivor Series. The losing team, gets a draft, gets a pick or something. I don't know.
Maybe that's what they'll definitely do.
Change.
It's funny because you bring up the loser going over to Raw. I thought for sure we'd see Rey Mysterio or Randy Orton moving over to Raw. And now it doesn't look like anybody's moving anywhere, and we have the whole Shane McMahon thing. So, yeah, they definitely need to revitalize that tag team scene. I'll be honest, here's another situation where if you just had one set of tag titles, you know, and the guys on the brand that don't have it are just battling to get that shot, it makes that even more interesting. It's hard because they don't seem like they're doing a good job of creating storylines for these tag teams outside of the championships. Where back in the day, you know, if the Dudleys and the APA didn't have the belt, they still had a storyline you wanted to see every week and a match on the pay-per-view that you had to watch because they were that good and getting you to want to see them. And they just don't allow the tag team division to do that, because I do think they have those teams to still have that depth and those extra storylines and matches.
They definitely do. I mean, you got teams like the APA that they brought up and have no direction whatsoever right now. And you had Breezango. I know, you know, who's that?
AOP.
AOP? What did I say?
APA.
Did I say the APA?
Because yeah. I said APA.
You got
you
me.
You say potato. Got the wrong initial. I say tomato. You say potato. I say tomato. You're wrong. I'm right. Let's call the whole thing a draw. That's not how it goes.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah, I just made up my own word.
Yeah, the AOP. Those guys. You know, they have some good teams. And yeah, you're right. They just don't do anything story-wise with anybody else other than the title matches, and even on Raw right now, the biggest story about the tag team titles is that the two champions are feuding with another with one another. It's not even about the tag team titles anymore. So it's tough to get behind it when there's no, they're not telling any story for those guys. And it's unfortunate because there's, like you said, there's a lot of good teams out there that are just floundering and not getting any television time or any story to build their characters off of.
Yeah, no question. I couldn't agree with you more. Let's slide the topic on over to the WWE Championship right there on SmackDown. AJ Styles victorious over Samoa Joe. I thought they had a good match.
They did have a good match. You know, it was disappointing that we couldn't see the Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match that we wanted. We got one on SmackDown instead, which was cool.
That was a good match, too.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess, I don't know. It was just abrupt, and I don't know. The whole build for all of that wasn't really there, and I get what they had to do, and it was fine, and so the match was still good. Those guys work so well together.
More importantly, then, where do we go now with this WWE Championship picture? Yeah. I mean, who does AJ have now? What's going on here?
Well, I guess we'll find out after Survivor Series, because it's him and Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, champion versus champion, so which should be an awesome match, but I don't know where you go. You got to bring Daniel Bryan back into this, because I think The Miz still needs his shot, and I think we're still going the same direction, so it's just, they just had to delay it a bit. I mean, I don't know if they were going to give Daniel Bryan the title at Crown Jewel when they're already going to have one new champion being crowned, but you know, maybe they'll wait till the pay-per-view after Survivor Series, whatever that one is. I don't know.
Night of Champions, I believe, is taking over December.
Ah, that or would
TLC,
be a good one.
Or is it TLC? They do TLC already?
I don't think they... Yeah, they did TLC because we only had one TLC match.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think it's Night of Champions. I think I was right the first time. All right, speaking of champions, Brock Lesnar is your new Universal Champion. Were you shocked there?
I guess not necessarily shocked, but I did think Braun Strowman was going to get the title. I thought it was kind of written there where Braun Strowman will get it because he was kind of leading up to this whole Drew McIntyre feud. They're really building to that, and I thought that for the title was kind of the way they were going. But, you know, not necessarily shocked, but surprised.
Is there any chance Braun wins this title on Monday Night Raw?
Is this my opinion?
No, I call for that. You know, no one calls for that. Oh. That's bullshit. Oh. Unring the bell for yourself. Like, next time you ring the bell, don't fucking ring it.
I don't know how you can unring. There you go, I'll hit the buzzer. There you go. I don't think he.
But anyway, you know, don't worry.
There could be.
Don't worry. You won't do that ever again.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe. yes. No, I don't know. I really don't think he will, but it seems ridiculous. But now, what? With Baron Corbin
are they
gonna now?
Let,
what is,
are they going to let the champion not be around now for the rest of the year? I mean,
what's going on with his UFC thing?
He's going to have it all the way to at least the Royal Rumble now.
He's got to. I mean,
I'm hearing Braun Strowman wins the Royal Rumble and then beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. We're going to wait all the way till then?
That's going to be rough.
Right? You're going to have no champion on Raw until then.
No, it's just like the last year and a half have been, so.
But you still had Roman Reigns. Now you don't have Roman Reigns.
I have no Roman Reigns. No Roman Reigns. What do you do? You got Braun Strowman, and you got
Seth and Dean. Is it going to be the Seth and Dean show?
You got to bring AJ over. You got to bring somebody big over. You know, who's the answer? It's not
The Miz?
Bobby Lashley.
The Miz.
I'm all for The Miz. Definitely for The Miz. It's
Cena come back for a Rumble to Mania, like every Raw.
They beg him for a little bit longer run.
When's his shoot over in China? When's post-production done so we know he doesn't have to go do any reshoots and stuff like that? That's another question, right?
That's the question.
You know he's going to want a match at Mania. He's still in shape. I'm sure he'll be in the Rumble.
Damn right. Why wouldn't he be?
All right. I think we've talked that one to death. We're just moving along here this week on the DWI podcast. Folks, you can always find us over at thechairshot.com. And speaking of thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yeah.
Guest.
Yeah, fucking.
Special guest.
Even that pussy knows.
Welcome to the show.
What's up?
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Brock Lesnar?
He's a bitch, we know. All right. Well, let's talk about the main event. Let's talk about Triple H and his torn pectoral muscle. You think he's going to be back in time for Mania? That's 6 months. I don't think so. I think he's out till like at least SummerSlam. Does he ever wrestle again even? That just looked ugly. That was fugly.
Ooh. Yeah, you could tell when he did it too. That arm was limp and he couldn't do shit with it. It made it very awkward. But geez, I mean, I'll tell you, kudos to that guy for he toughs it out every time when he gets hurt like that. He toughs it out and finishes matches. You know,
yeah, he could barely lift his arm away
with one arm. Remember when he tore his quad? Finished that match. Yep. You know, like, geez, there's not many people that can do something like that. So, kudos to him for continuing on.
Yeah, what did you think of the match in general? I kind of enjoyed it. I thought everybody did a lot of solid work there. I thought it was really interesting to see Shawn Michaels wrestle as a bald man. And I thought it was great when Kane lost his mask and they kind of cut the camera away and waited for them to pick it up and put it back on his head.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was pretty fun. I'm surprised they even acknowledged it, but I guess he had to because he could really see it when it came off. It was obvious. And then, yeah, there goes all his hair.
Right? I mean, that's the worst part.
Yeah, that was funny. That would have been great, though, if they would all came out bald. That would have been fun. Taker cuts his hair off, and he's all bald.
Well, and how about Shawn Michaels' moonsault, where he pretty much lands on his noggin there? Because he caught his feet and dropped his head right on the fucking thing. Like, he's got to be concussed.
Yeah, that didn't look good. Yeah, they were, yeah.
Yeah, that looked worse than
however that whole thing finished.
Yeah, that looked worse. I mean, DX was beating the shit out of him, you know. I mean,
they took an ass kicking.
Yeah. Do you think we're gonna still see Undertaker and Shawn Michaels WrestleMania or some point down the road?
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you see it? They looked good enough to make a singles match.
So that could be that Kane could be out of the picture now, right? They could just eliminate him. He's gonna go back and do the Mayor. Hunter's out of the picture now because he's hurt, so that just leaves these two guys. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I think that's the plan. Anyway, I think that was the plan anyway. You had Triple H and Taker at the last show. I think Kane was playing the role he was going to play because he's got his own thing to do. And, you know, then we were leading to Shawn Taker number 3 at WrestleMania.
Why not?
Right? Why not? I think it'll still be good. I mean, they looked good. They all looked good in the ring. I mean, they definitely didn't do anything other than Shawn Michaels doing the moonsault. There was nothing, like, crazy. It was a standard kind of wrestling match. You know, but, you know, what else do you expect from those guys? They're a little bit older.
Right.
And, you know, they were never guys that did crazy shit anyway, except for HBK. So.
All right. Well, before we move on and talk about another topic, let's have a little pause for the comments.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Walking down the street when out the corner of my eye I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looked so all alone.
charge of you's a little company. If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said.
Oh. Oh. It's time to rock and roll.
DPP, the WWE Women's Evolution pay-per-view. I thought it was excellent. I rather enjoyed it. I had medium to medium plus expectations, and I thought they really delivered. I extremely enjoyed the match between Shayna and Kairi. I thought that was an excellent match for the NXT Women's Championship. I thought the finals of the Mae Young Classic was great. I think Toni Storm is going to be an up-and-comer very, very soon on a major brand near you. I don't think she spends a lot of time in NXT, I'll be honest with you. I thought the opening bout was rather sloppy, but they all made up for it on Monday the next evening. And it was still good to see Trish and Lita in the ring. And I just really enjoyed everything. I mean, Charlotte and Becky, they delivered again. That was just one unbelievable match, the things that they did in the first ever Last Women Standing match. And Nikki Bella with Brie Bella taking on Ronda Rousey. I enjoyed it. I was entertained. I thought it was probably, how many pay-per-views have we had this year? 10 or so?
Sounds about right.
I can probably only think of maybe 3 pay-per-views this so far this calendar year that were better than Women's Evolution.
Wow. High standards right there.
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I'm sorry. I was a bit perplexed by the musical performance, but now that I to open the show.
Oh, I didn't hear the musical performance to open the show. I'm sorry.
But it was good. Now looking back, it was good. I was just perplexed at the time. So don't, you know, that I was talking about it on Twitter. Sorry to interrupt you, DP. Go ahead.
Oh, that's fine. It gave me time to take a sip of my beverage.
I'd ask you what you're drinking, but we're not there yet.
We are not there yet. But where we are is Evolution. And I was surprised, actually, as well. I thought it was very good. I really enjoyed the pay-per-view. I really liked all the matches. They told a good story in the Battle Royal, even.
Yeah, I left the Battle Royal out. Did you think it was a good move for them to have Nia Jax win there, or were you kind of rooting for Ember Moon?
I was actually rooting for Ember Moon quite a bit, honestly, because I thought it was a good spot for her to win it, where Nia Jax can just, you know, she's one that you could give a title match to at any time. So it looks like we're just going to end up getting the rematch of Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey. I think Ember Moon could have been a really fun match to see Moon and Rousey go at it, but I assume we're going to see that down the road at some point anyway. So I just like the fact that they told a good story in the Battle Royal without just having a Battle Royal. And I'm with you. I think we said this at the last Mae Young Classic when we saw Toni Storm wrestle, that, man, she looked really good then, and she looks even better now. And I'm with you. She's one that could be moved up to the main roster very quickly. I really liked Toni Storm. I liked Shira. Ripley was really good, too. I think she was from last year as well, that one of them I pegged to say, you know, she's going to be a main roster competitor for sure at some point. And the Shayna Baszler match actually surprised me. I really liked the match. I thought Kairi Sane was going to hold on to this title, and we were going to see Shayna Baszler get moved up to the main roster, because I really thought here was the opportunity where Shayna Baszler could lose this match, and to close out the show, we see Ronda Rousey retain her title and Baszler come in and take her out to set up Baszler and Ronda Rousey. I don't know if they're going to do the whole four horsewoman thing at any point, but I don't think they're going to go that route, depending, you know, just by the way the storylines are going on the main roster with Becky Lynch and Charlotte being, you know, bitter enemies right now. You're obviously not going to team them up.
Can't they still do that four horsewoman route with Baszler being the NXT champion still? I mean, how much more exposure does that give NXT by having your women's champion paired with Ronda Rousey, your Raw women's champion in a stable? So, you know, she could do double duty.
Oh, no, they definitely could do that. I was thinking that if they're not going to do that, this was the opportunity to have Baszler come out and beat up Ronda Rousey.
Okay,
gotcha. And set up a feud between them where Baszler's the heel on the main roster. I thought that would be very fun to see, but sounds like they're going a little different route, so I'm still okay with that. And yeah, I don't think we need to say anything more about Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, because that they're just it's the best women's feud going on right now. They are.
It's not just the best women's feud. It's the feud of the year right now in WWE, is it not? Can you think of a better feud for a feud of the year? I got nothing.
This year, other than Reigns-Lesnar would be the other feud that's really gone on. That's about it. And that's the only one that's had multiple matches.
And it's from the last 3 years.
And it could have been, you could say Ziggler and Rollins. That might be the only other long-standing feud this year. That's the only other one.
Yeah.
I can think of.
Joe and AJ, maybe, but I'm still going Becky Charlotte.
Yeah. I think overall, the way they've told it and the way they've delivered and the way Becky Lynch has changed her character, I think it's just awesome. They did a really good job with that. And yeah, the final match, I just was expecting, I wanted something different, I guess. I knew Rousey was going to win, and they gave us the cookie cutter, everybody on the stage to celebrate finish, and I was kind of hoping for something at the end and didn't get it.
I thought the Bellas did a fantastic job in that match. I thought Nikki did a really good job. I thought Brie was excellent on the outside. I think my favorite thing that I was so thrilled with was the fact that Ronda Rousey sells the hell out of being bounced off or thrown into that ring post, and it is a beautiful thing. She is one of the best I've ever seen at doing that. And that's, I'll stick with that any day. She bounces off that post like she's getting rock and rolled, man. It's awesome to watch.
I think we've, you know, I don't know if anybody else does or whatever, but I still compare her to Kurt Angle when he came in, how she takes to the ring so well. And just like him, like almost over, sells, like, just does a really good job to make it look like it's really hitting them. It's really, you know, it's making a big move, slamming really hard into that ring post. It makes it look really good. Kurt Angle was the man at that. It's like, man, he's really like actually hurting himself doing this, isn't he? But he's not. And Ronda Rousey seems to be the exact same way.
All right, DP, let's end this topic like this. It's time for another edition.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Is Charlotte Flair the one to take the WWE Women's Raw title off of Ronda Rousey at some point? Yes or no?
Yeah, brother.
And that is another edition of...
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
All right, DP, before we slide into our next topic, why don't you do me a favor and let's play... What you drinking?
Drink it in, man. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk.
Hey.
Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm gonna be drunk till the next time I'm drunk.
Goddamn right I am. All right, DP. I'll let you go first, just so I can... make sure that we close this out with some alcohol, because I'm not sure you're drinking. So what's drinking, not. DP?
I'm still nervous. I tried to have a couple yesterday, and I'm not ready for a full thing of drinking yet after the surgery. I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's been a while.
How'd that go for you last weekend?
It hurts.
Well, I mean, drinking.
It's been
last
a long
weekend.
Time since I had that many drinks.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah. It really hits me. Like, yeah, after a couple, it's like, fuck, man, I'm starting to get a headache. So, well, take it easy.
All right.
Just have my Pepsi.
All right, well, I found a new black IPA, one of my favorite drinks in the world. It's called Close Encounter, and it's from our good friends over at Pipeworks Brewing Company. So,
Pipeworks.
Is there anything else IPA-wise you'd like me to try, Pipeworks Brewing Company? Just... you know, get a hold of me on the Twitter at PC Tunney, and I will definitely drink and plug it for you. Check this can out.
Looks cool. It's Halloweeny.
Yeah, you're a Halloweeny.
Oh,
all right, I'm going to take a sip here and see. The black IPA is rather rare these days, so let me see how I like this one. It'll be the first taste here of Close Encounter Black IPA by Pipeworks Brewing Company. That's what I want.
Did you dig that, sucker?
When it comes to Close Encounter Black IPA by Pipeworks Brewing Company, Booker T, I can dig that, sucker.
Tell me you did not just say that.
Oh, I did. Oh, I did. All right, DP, let's get right into it. We're talking Survivor Series, Raw versus SmackDown. How do you feel about their making Raw versus SmackDown the theme for Survivor Series?
I'm okay with it if it means we get some Survivor Series matches. So I think if it wasn't for doing this, I don't think we'd see Survivor Series matches anymore. So I'm fine with it. We usually get, you know, three Survivor Series style elimination matches and then a couple heads up ones. You know, it was for nothing just except for bragging rights before. So I expect it's nothing except unless he wants to put the World Cup on the line. Ooh. So I'm full for it. I like it.
The only thing I don't like about it is they do have title matches on here. All those guys should be in Survivor Series matches. This should be the one pay-per-view where there's no titles defended. If you want to have a title match at Survivor Series, have an NXT title match at Survivor Series or something like that. Or bring the UK champion over and have them showcased. But I think you look back in like early Survivor Series pay-per-views, a lot of them didn't have any. They just had the big matches. Like Hogan had his team at the end against the other guy's team, and that was it. I mean, this is what we're watching. It's something different, and I like that. Everything else is almost the same all the time.
Well, you think about the big four, you know, WrestleMania is the grand WrestleMania, you know, all the pomp and circumstance. And then you have your SummerSlam, which is like WrestleMania late. And then you have your other two, which are completely different. You got a Royal Rumble match that's all, you know, that should, well, originally was basically all about the Royal Rumble. And then you had your Survivor Series, which was just Survivor Series matches, no titles on the line. And they started to get away from that. And I'm with you. There doesn't need to be any titles defended. I don't know if there's going to be any this year. They're just having the champions now for the Raw versus SmackDown.
I got an idea here. You talk about specializing pay-per-views. What if they did it to Money in the Bank as well, where you had basically the tournaments on each side at the show culminating in the Money in the Bank matches? You know, like you had, I don't know, you'd have different qualifying matches to get this amount of people into it, and the whole card would be just about the Money in the Bank. I think that'd be something different. Like you had a pool of four wrestlers, and once two wrestlers are eliminated, then the other two wrestlers end up advancing, and that's how you end up getting six people. So you'd have like three four-way matches, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be for that. It's something different. I enjoy the fact that they have the qualifying matches on the Raws and SmackDowns because it gives you good matches to watch on Raw and SmackDown where you can see who's going to get onto the pay-per-view. So I think I'm fine with it.
You can still have that to qualify into these qualifiers on the show. I mean, I just think, you know, sure, specializing these pay-per-views, right? Let's make them something different because a lot of them, like, you know, they're the same.
Well, they are. And I get that's, you know, maybe why they do some of these gimmick pay-per-views. But, you know, I'd rather see those gimmicks just be random than be what you're looking into. Like, you know, Hell in a Cell is going to come up, or you know, Money in the Bank is going to be there. You know, I'd rather see it as you're building to that type of match. You have these, you know, you have three pay-per-views where you're fighting the same guy and you're going back and forth, and you have the final blow off and it's going to be a steel cage match, or, you know, the last man standing matches, or, you know, something special that you build to, as opposed to just that's the next pay-per-view that's coming up.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it. You know, it's you always want to make those little tweaks and changes so that it's a little more interesting, a little more storyline driven, but it's hard. It's hard to really know what they're going to do anyway. So we can wish all we want and crap in the other hand and see which one comes first, yeah, right? You know?
We'll see which one Vince McMahon picks.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And you know he's a fan of the fart jokes. So,
all right, before we move along and try to get the last call here this week on the DWI podcast, just want to let you all know that you should visit thechairshot.com for all your wrestling needs. You can find me on the Twitter at PCTunny. You can find DPP at It's Me DPP on the Twitter. You can also find you and us on Facebook
at facebook.com/DWI podcast.
And you can find the show at Podcast DWI on the Twitter and I believe Instagram as well, DPP. That's under you.
That's under at It's Me DPP.
All right, folks. You know where to find us. Comments, questions, concerns. Send them that way. We're almost done here, but we got to do it again. Dance break. And it's time for last call.
What do you mean it's last call?
What do you mean? What do I mean? It's the last thing we're going to talk about. And this week, we're giving our mid-season thoughts on the NFL, fantasy-wise and non-fantasy-wise. If you're not having any fantasies about the NFL, then we'll talk about the regular stuff, too.
I don't want to know about your fantasies either.
Well, so
if you're having fantasies about the NFL, I don't need to hear it.
What's that? Was that one the scary movie where he kept trying to make her wear the football player outfit?
Yeah. Hey, wear the football helmet and the pads. Put this on. Put this on.
Why, baby? I don't get it. DP, we're halfway through the football season. The Chiefs are leading the AFC West. The Texans are leading the AFC South. The Steelers are leading the AFC North. And the Patriots are leading the AFC East. Any surprises there?
Not one. The biggest surprise, I think, is the Jaguars being 3-5. I think everybody thought they were going to be the team to beat in the AFC, and they have regressed this year, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you know, they come out and they looked rather decent at the beginning of the year, and then you turn around and now they've lost, you know, what is it?
Four in a row,
right? And then you have the complete opposite at the other at the top of the division. The Texans lost their first three, and they've won five in a row now. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I think not, luck hasn't done as well as people had thought. Colts still don't have that really good of a team. The Titans have an injured Mariota. Do you see the Texans going on and winning this division?
I think it's going to be a close race. I think the Jaguars will make a little bit of a comeback here. Just my opinion, man. But I think it's going to be between the Texans and the Jaguars. Texans are looking good. Deshaun Watson's starting to get back into his flow here after his supposedly collapsed lung or whatever that he was playing with, which is crazy. But they got that young quarterback, he looks really good, and they got a pretty decent offense there. Losing Will Fuller is going to hurt, I think, for sure. But
they just got Demaryius Thomas, though.
Right, there you go. They just got Thomas. That'll fill the gap, and their defense is still good as ever with J.J. Watt in there, and they can be a scary team. I guess I'd have to look at the rest of their schedule for sure, but they could easily win this division, especially with the way the Titans and the Colts are looking, and the Jaguars, I think, might be able to turn it around. So they just got to get their quarterback to get his head out of his ass.
NFC East, one word, Patriots.
That's it.
All right. NFC North, the Steelers and Bengals and Ravens are AFC gridlock North. Up there again. Browns not looking so great. Getting rid of their coach and their offensive coordinator same day. Greg Williams Fantastic. Taking over out there. Thoughts there, Cleveland?
How does that guy get a head coaching job after Bounty Gate? That's pretty interesting how he made that turnaround. But, I don't think there's any surprise in this division. It's always that way with these guys. The Steelers, Bengals, Ravens are always just kind of neck and neck and neck, going for that division.
Let's talk about Le'Veon Bell coming back. He's got a report by week 11, I believe it is, to make sure that he guarantees free agency next year. I believe that's what it is. Do you see him coming back? And how do you see the reception's going to be? Because Connor's been doing a really good job. They're in first place.
If Jimmy Butler can get on the court for the Timberwolves, Le'Veon Bell can get on the field for the Steelers. Yeah,
ring the bell. What a beautiful, beautiful way to end the topic of the NFC North there. AFC North, apologize. Yeah, how about that? Woo, boy. All right. Let's talk about finally last division here in the AFC, the AFC West. The Chiefs are really taking over here. Talk to me a little bit about how well Patrick Mahomes has played lately.
Jeez, he's playing out of his mind. What in the world? You know, it's just absolute shock what's going on there. You know, from a team that, what was it, 2 years? I don't even know if last year I think they had a few, but 2 years ago didn't even have a receiver catch a touchdown pass. And now these guys are just lighting it up in the passing game. It's an amazing turnaround. That offense is ridiculous.
I couldn't agree with you more about Kansas City. I think that Andy Reid has the weapons he wants. I think it's pretty disappointing to see the Broncos where they are. And at the same time, while it's nice to see the Chargers at 5-2, I think they've really benefited from an easy schedule. I mean, they've won 4 in a row, but it's against the Titans, Browns, Raiders, and 49ers. They did get routed by the Saints. Their other victories, they do have a quality one over the Seahawks, but they lost to the Cardinals the first game of the year, so... Let's just keep everything in perspective here when it comes to the Chargers. You think the Chargers make the playoffs?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, just because, man, I don't know who else is going to get out of it, out of this division. It's going to be somebody from the AFC North, I would think. I think the Bengals or Ravens will get in there. Otherwise, we're looking at, you know, Texans, Steelers, Chiefs, Patriots.
Could you see the Steelers, Chargers, Bengals, and Ravens all making it?
I could see them all making it, for sure. It wouldn't be the first time that's happened. And
I mean, the Dolphins have a backup quarterback situation going on there, so it's really tough to see. I think the one team that's not in that race right now, that's sub-500 that I could see making a run, could possibly be the Broncos, but they really haven't shown me that they could win that many games. I mean, they're 3-5. You're talking about having to go, boy, oh boy, 6-1.
Yeah, that's tough. And like we mentioned earlier, they traded away Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
You know, so they lost a big weapon there at wide receiver. It's going to come down to this. I think it's for a lot of these teams, it's going to come down to their schedules. Like you said, the Chargers had an easy schedule to start, you know, the season. You know, it's going to be who's got the easier schedule going down the finish here to get the couple wins that you're going to need, you know.
Let's slide it over onto the NFC side. Let's start with the North. This is quite the battle of just teams that aren't doing so hot right now. I have a hard time. I got a hard time describing this for you. Everybody's right in it. I mean, the Lions are 3-4. The Bears are 4-3. And the Packers and Vikings are sitting right in between them with a tie each. I don't see the Packers winning this division as a Packer fan. I really think the Vikings are the ones that are going to end up having a better second half of the season.
This is going to be a tough one because, I think it's going to come down to who's got the easier schedule, because I think the Vikings have a better overall team because they have a great defense and they have an offense that can be explosive, where the Packers don't have a defense right now. And their offense just seems to flounder at times where they don't seem to know what they're doing. I think the Bears benefited from an easier schedule.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, a lot of these teams play each other to end this season. A lot of these teams do have tough games in New England and Seattle because the divisions are playing each other this year yet on their schedule. So I think this will be one to watch. I definitely think any one of these teams gets hot, they could win it. For me, personally, being around here in Wisconsin – I just don't see the Packers pulling it off this year. So my bet would be on the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way here. You know, I'm just looking at the Bears' schedule. I think it's going to be tough sledding for them. They got the Vikings twice. They got to play the Rams and the Packers. So I just don't see them coming out of here with it. It's the Vikings have a pretty – looking like this, they have a pretty easy schedule coming up. They got the Bears – they got the Sea Chickens, Dolphins, Lions, Bears again.
Yeah, besides that 2 weeks on the road against Seattle and New England, you have a better schedule than most. So let's slide on over to the NFC East here. Redskins got a game and a half lead because of the bye differential. Eagles at 500. Cowboys trying to get back to 500. Giants not in the picture here. Boy, oh boy. I just have a hard time thinking that the Redskins are going to win this division.
Not after the Eagles, you know, are the defending champions. You know, yeah, everybody expected the Eagles to come out and just run over everybody, and hasn't been happening yet. You know, they lost their, losing their running back. They just don't seem like they've been getting it going yet.
I got to say, I think the Cowboys could come through and win the division here this year. I do see the Eagles making the playoffs. Unfortunately, Redskin fans, Big Dave, I see you guys taking a tumble here in the second half, but you never know. Alex Smith is a winning quarterback, so they do have weapons on offense. If those receivers can stay healthy, they have a solid defense. We'll just have to see how the schedules play out there in the NFC East. Now, let's get to the last two divisions I saved because I think they have the two best teams in the NFC right now. We'll start with the NFC South. Drew Brees playing phenomenal. Who'd have thought after they got run by Tampa, giving up 48 points? I believe that was the 48-40 game against Tampa the first week of the season. Yeah. They railed off six in a row. Carolina hot on their heels. Cam Newton's been playing great. It just looks like a down year for the Falcons and Buccaneers. I could easily see a Saints and Panthers NFC championship if the draw ends up correct.
That could easily happen. The Saints, man, they're just, again, another ridiculous offense. Drew Brees has, you know, always been great, but he seems to be playing out of his mind this year right now. They've just got all the tools on offense. Defensively, they've been pretty solid as well, which is surprising. They haven't had a really good defense in a long time in New Orleans there. And the Panthers, I thought, you know, beginning of the season didn't look that great. And now I'm starting to kind of put it together and starting to get into a rhythm again. I think, you know, losing Greg Olsen for a couple weeks there hurt him, because I know Cam Newton loves throwing it to Greg Olsen. Now that he's back, I think they're starting to click again.
What's that? Three-leg Greg.
Three-leg Greg?
Yeah, that was his nickname in Miami when he went to the
U. Oh, dear Lord.
Tough. It's a horrible nickname, hey? Yeah. I hope the girls didn't find out about that nickname.
Right. I'm sure you kept that a secret. You don't want to let that out, if you know what I mean.
Oh, got me right in the eye.
I'm kind of surprised by the Falcons. I don't know about you. I thought they would be a little bit better. They always have a solid offense. They just seem to – maybe it's just that their defense isn't good at all right now is what's killing them.
Yeah, I never really believed in the Dirty Birds. I think they have a tough schedule. I mean, they've played some pretty decent teams this year. I mean, they have losses to the Saints and the Bengals and the Steelers and the Eagles. So Chiefs had that on top of there. So it's just one of those years where that defense isn't that great. They've also had some injuries at running back this year. Julio continues to get older. They don't have a great tight end, in my opinion. So I don't know.
Not super-duper Hooper?
Yeah, well, I never really believed in Matt Ryan anyway. But who's going to win this division? The Saints or the Panthers?
I got to stick with the Saints. They look extremely hot. And other than that first game that was a shootout, they seem to have been killing it on offense. And I just see them continuing to go that route. It's going to be a tough, it's definitely going to be close at the end, but I got to stick with the Saints.
I'm going Panthers. I think the Saints are about to come back down to earth, not to mention two of the last three games they play each other. So that's really going to determine what happens. Weeks 15 and 17, Saints-Panthers. Yep.
It's going to be a fun ending to that. Awesome.
To look for. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's take you out to the NFC West, the only undefeated team in the NFL. DP, how about them Los Angeles Rams, huh?
Jeez.
Talk about showtime.
They look ridiculous.
Talk about showtime.
The greatest show in the Coliseum since
the Olympics.
What?
The Olympics.
You know, it's since, amazing.
Doesn't USC play there?
Yes, they do, as you could tell all by right. the...
Since, like, Leinart and Reggie Bush.
Yeah. I remember kind of making a joke about it in the last game, because you could still see all the logos, and then they explained that it was just because of the weather was so shitty and rainy that they couldn't paint over them enough. Yep. Like, hey, look at that. USC plays there. What a surprise.
Cardinals, Niners. But, Niners are in an unfortunate situation before you get there. Niners are in an unfortunate situation. Had a great game from Nick Mullins against Oakland. Who knows? It was against Oakland. Cardinals trying to get Rosen some playing time. Let's get those two teams out of the way. Continue your talk with the Rams.
Yeah, they're just, I mean, Goff is just playing amazing. They've got a ridiculously good running game with Gurley, and that offensive line is just amazing. And the defense is also damn near just as good as that offense. They're ridiculous on defense, too. And, boy, that's going to be really tough to stop if they can continue that kind of role with that. You know, having a solid defense is one thing, but then you have an offense that could just light the scoreboard up is unbelievable. And I mean, I know the question's coming of who's going to win this division. Can the Seahawks catch them? And I just don't see the Seahawks don't look that good. Their defense does not look that good anymore. They've obviously lost all the guys from the era when that defense Legion was unstoppable. But yeah, so man, that's going to be tough for anybody in this conference to beat the Rams. I mean, they're going to be the number one seed if, you know, other than the Saints or the Panthers. I don't see anybody else catching them.
All right, well, pull up the Rams schedule here. I think Seattle's going to make the playoffs, by the way. That's just what I'll give you my take on Seattle there real quick. Not much more to say about that. You got the Rams schedule up? I feel like this is Bob and Brian. Zabe's like, you got this up now? Are we looking at this? You ready? Did you do your homework?
Click on the button. I sent you the links right there in your Skype window.
All right. So big game against the Saints this week.
Saints will be a big one.
Then they got the Seahawks. Then they got the Chiefs. After that, it's pretty smooth sailing, except for maybe at the Bears and home to the Eagles.
Could be tough Eagles. But
Lions, Cardinals, Niners, I don't see them, you know. What's your opinion on the Los Angeles Rams record at the end of the year? I mean, how many losses does this team have? Do they lose?
They're definitely going to lose, I think. I see three losses.
All right,
seem going 13-3.
Where you got them losing?
I'll take the Chiefs. I'll take the Eagles. And I'll take the Sea Chickens.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh boy. Saints might get them, but I don't think so. There's got to be one in there that they're going to lose to that you don't expect.
I think the one that's going to be tough is at New Orleans here. Seahawks and Chiefs are at home. I don't know. It's hard to see them losing. But, yeah, at the Bears could be tough, too, playing in the Alien Dome there that looks like a spaceship landed on a football field. But I don't know. Eagles are at home. At the Lions could be tough, too. You never know. I think they'll go 14-2. I think they'll be the number one seed. I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl, though. I just don't believe in them. I don't believe in Goff. I think they're very susceptible. They almost lost to a very bad Packers team last Sunday. That's my opinion.
That is true. That is true. They almost lost to the Seahawks last time in Seattle by 2. They won it.
Let's get a little bit of an opinion here on some fantasy football things that have happened so far. I'm going to go run down here, and we're going to look at a little bit of how people have performed the year to date. And let's start at quarterback. Patrick Mahomes has outscored, at least in our scoring system, which is pretty close to a PPR with a couple bonuses and things like that. Every yard counts as a tenth of a point or a half of a tenth when it comes to quarterbacks. But Patrick Mahomes is far and away the best quarterback this season, outscoring, you know, the guys right behind him by 60-some points through 8 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, he is on pace to be the MVP of the league. I mean, the last time anybody's thrown, 30 touchdowns in the first 8 games or whatever, that's been Brady, Manning, whatever. I think there's 4 quarterbacks they showed or whatever. Everybody that's done it is going to be the MVP. I mean, he's putting up MVP numbers, so I don't think anybody expected that to be happening this year, but yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Now you talk about the running back side. You got Todd Gurley, who's doing phenomenal. outpacing again. Just Saquon Barkley's the only guy that's right behind him there. Boy, if you backed up Le'Veon Bell with James Conner in your draft, you got to be pretty happy because he's pretty much in the top five. Then Kamara, Hunt, James White having a huge year, having to catch all those. Melvin Gordon's been injured. Zeke's not having that great of a year. Saquon Barkley, I mean, just the beneficiary of a bad team. Talk to me about the running back play this year in fantasy football.
Yeah, it's been very different. I mean, you look at a guy like Derrick Henry for the Titans, who is, you know, should have been a pretty decent back and has had just a horrible year so far. There's been a lot of injuries. Like you said, Le'Veon Bell, you know, not reporting really hurt a lot of people. I know in our league, neighborhood league here, and Brother Joe got into it. He had the second pick, took Le'Veon Bell. So he's, you know, hurting. It's really, really bad. Pick. So,
yeah.
You know, it's just crazy. A lot of rookies that came in that are, you know, playing pretty crazy. Sony Michel, and now he got hurt with the Patriots. It's just been all over the place, I think, this year. A lot of guys that kind of surprisingly are putting up better numbers than you would have thought.
Let's slide on over to the receiver side. Adam Thielen is just dominating people. He has multiple catches and a touchdown every week. Cooper Kupp was pretty much on the same track until he got injured. After that, it's Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, ODB, Devontae Adams. Manny Sanders coming back strong this year, and Antonio Brown not as dominant as he used to be.
Downtown Antonio Brown.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, again, it's, you know, some of the guys that you're used to seeing up on that top scoreboard of Julio Jones and AJ Green, and, you know, those guys aren't, they're getting older and they're not going to be there anymore. So you got some new guys on the list. So it's pretty cool to see some of these younger guys getting a lot more value at wide receiver. You see it a lot more scoring from receivers just because of the passing game is so much more wide open than it used to be. You know, you can't touch a finger on the quarterback, so he's got full reign over there. So it's cool. I'm a big fan of Tyreek Hill being up on that list. I'll tell you that.
King of
the Hill over here.
All right. Let's talk tight ends, the bigger wide receiver nowadays, because a lot of them are just there to catch passes. The best ones can do both and get multiple snaps. Zach Ertz and Greg Kittle. Greg Kittle, a new face, regardless of who's quarterbacking out there in San Francisco. That guy is a stud when it comes to tight end. He's having a great year.
Yeah, I'm actually not very surprised. That was one guy I targeted, actually. I thought he was going to be really good this year after the way he finished last year. And, yeah, he hasn't disappointed. One of those guys that just, you know, is an easy target, it seems. Yeah, like I said, doesn't matter who's throwing the ball there in San Francisco with the quarterbacks that have been getting injured over there and all their running backs that have gotten hurt. And he's still been producing very well. You got to throw it to somebody, right?
Yeah. Travis Kelce is up towards the top of the list again after a very slow start this year. Eric Ebron has emerged as one of the top five tight ends in fantasy football. And you also got the rookie from the Bears. Oh, no, he's not a rookie, is he?
No, it's Burton, Trey Burton.
Trey Burton. Where did he play before the Bears? He's been around for a while. I thought he was a younger guy. He's 27. Yeah, but he had a phenomenal start there to the season, and he's cooled off a little bit two of the last 3 weeks, but he did have a big week against New England. I mean, it's tough because Gronk has been hurt, Jordan Reed hasn't played well, and Njoku, Jimmy Graham. A lot of underperforming tight ends.
Yeah, again, one of those where the big names that you're used to seeing aren't there right now. And, you know, a lot of it may have been due to injury with Gronk being out. Greg Olsen was out for a couple weeks with injury as well. Jordan Reed's been, you know, kind of disappeared right now. And you got a lot more younger tight ends coming back up. You know, you used to see Jason Witten, Gronkowski were always like the top two guys. And now that's just not happening anymore. And you're getting some new names showing up on the lists.
And then as far as kicking and defensive things, I don't know. I'm not going to talk about kickers. Defensive special teams, the Rams are up there. They've done well as far as getting points and causing turnovers and things of that nature. The Bears, the Browns, Texans, Chiefs, Patriots, those things are toss-ups. You probably play them week to week. I think overall it's been a difficult year, like you said, because different people have emerged. It's not one of those years where you carried over into the same kind of guys dominating.
Yeah, that's been the thing, is that you've gotten a lot of rookies. The last couple of years have been like that, where a lot of rookies, especially running backs, have gotten opportunities to come in and start immediately and have made a big impact. And so you're seeing a lot of this changeover. It's just in that transition where a lot of those big name guys are disappearing and you're getting a lot more younger rookies and rule changes that are making, you know, passing games a lot more open and easier to make some big plays, and you get some names you never saw before.
All right, DPP, one bold prediction on the NFL moving forward, and I'll go first to let you think about it here. My bold prediction right now is going to be the fact that the Cowboys will win the NFC East.
Does it have to be for this year? Because I'll say next year the Raiders will win the AFC West.
All right, there you go. That pick, yeah. That pick was a rug.
That rug really tied the room together.
That rug really tied the room together.
The Las Vegas Raiders will be the AFC West champions.
Awesome. Way to go. All right, before we get out of here, let's get to it one more time.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
One last dance break. Dance break.
Right.
Yeah, that's the end of it. We caught you dancing that time. Caught you dancing that time. DPB, it's been a pleasure again. Folks, you can find me at PC Tunney on the Twitter. You can find him at It's Me DPP on the Twitter. You can find us at Podcast DWI and at Greatest Team Never, Great with an 8. DP, tell everybody where they can find us on Facebook and Instagram.
At Facebook.com/DWI Podcast and Instagram at It's Me DPP.
I don't know. Do we have anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here today?
I don't think so, dude.
Whoop. I don't know about that, dude.
Oh, I guess, folks, you've been listening to another edition of the podcast known as
DWI.
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.